This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now here are Denise and Hunter exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome everybody to this Monday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
Woo! What a week, what a weekend. So much going on. We got the White House Correspondents' Dinner, it never really happened. Mm-hmm. We had Dorchester over the weekend. I mean, there was all kinds of stuff. Way too much. My show prep today is crazy. I was like, oh, we got to talk about this. Well, then there's this. There's so much. I was like dumping links and everything on you this morning.
Well, and some of this stuff, I'm sitting there going, it is so interesting when you really look at it and think about it. And, you know, the advancements that are coming fast and furious, and the revelation that so many people don't realize the impacts these have on their freedoms and their abilities and everything else. I'm just going, things are getting wild.
Things are getting wild, and I'm looking at you, Ford Motor Company, and we've got that to talk about, too, but it's not just Ford. But today is National Gummy Bear Day, and honestly, in Oregon, maybe after the weekend, the crazy weekend, we've had one of Oregon's special gummies. Mm-hmm. Maybe? I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
Sure,
Oregon
there's a
has
few
their
out
special
there.
Gummies.
Gummy Bear Day has a different meaning in a state like Oregon.
It does. It's also Babe Ruth Day, and it's National Tell a Story Day. That one kind of hits because how much is, you know, just sort of fabricated, made up tall tales, mm-hmm. you know? Ugh. So happy National Tell a Story Day. I think that's every day.
Oh, yeah. I think that is... That is now the news's daily celebration. Come on.
So over the weekend, I was doing some driving this weekend, and I streamed it. And so the mustache and I listened to this. Dorchester was this weekend. I haven't been to Dorchester. When was the last time I was there? Actually, when it was in Salem. Mm-hmm. And I remember it was during the Gator and Denise show, and we interviewed Bob Packwood. And this was kind of his thing, the Dorchester conference. It's a little more liberal, because to me, liberal is not a bad word. Leftists don't even, but it's not as conservative. So it's a little more liberal, but that happened. And then there was a gubernatorial candidate forum, and on the stage were Ed Deal, Christine Drazen, and Chris Dudley. And I was thinking, well, why isn't Danielle Bethel there? So I reached out to a friend this morning, and apparently, and again, this is her recollection, that there was a fundraising threshold. She thought it was around $500,000. And so unfortunately, I don't think, because Danielle, I believe, was there. And I was kind of disappointed because she always brings the policy stuff to the debate or to the forum. This was a forum again. We have not seen a debate, an actual debate. And but I thought it was interesting because I just in listening to it, so we weren't watching it, so I couldn't see body language. I had it on my phone, but it's kind of hard. Mm-hmm. I thought there was a lot more energy coming from Christine Drazen and Chris Dudley than there was from the ORP forum.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think I would attribute that to, I think in a lot of ways, one, they're more preaching to their audience. You know, the little more liberal side of things. I think that Danielle in particular, you know, she will do an amazing job of rallying the conservative base, but it's going to have to reach a little harder to get to that other side of the aisle, where I think Christine Drazen and Dudley in particular are looking at the moderate Republicans / the NAVs / the Democrats. In a certain way, and I'm kind of getting this feeling more and more as I'm watching television and listening to radio and things like that, mm-hmm. that they're kind of, to a certain extent, looking beyond, especially Christine Drazen, the primaries.
Well, and, you know, again, there was one poll last week that put her at like 31%, so clearly way ahead of the pack. There was another poll that had Ed Deal getting a big bump from the Republican forum. I'm surprised that these polls, and again, that's two polls. Mm-hmm. And again, the betting markets, that those aren't polls. Those are people kind of putting their money on who they think is going to win. And, you know, it all seems to be kind of gearing towards Christine Drazen is sort of, you know, she's got the name recognition because she ran in 2022. She's got the fundraising. I'm surprised that Chris Dudley isn't doing as well. I thought he did better. But again, he's very, very, you know, very broad. There's not a lot of policy in there. And again, kind of with the we need to, we must statements. Yeah, for many of us, it's like, well, we know what we need to do. We know what the problems are. What's your prescription? And I don't hear a lot of that.
Yeah. And it's going to be very interesting as we progress. I mean, the primary is what, like 3.5 weeks away, not even. As we find out who the Republican candidate is going to be in May, as things ramp up towards November, are we going to start seeing more of it? I actually saw an article over this weekend where it literally said, here's the four Republican contenders, and Kotek is waiting for them in the election. I go, yes and no, there is a primary for Tina Kotek, but we're not even talking about that because she's already looking at the general election because the odds of her being defeated are slim to none.
Right, right. Well, speaking of Tina Kotek, the Oregon voters pamphlet is out, and funny, her statement, and I looked at it, I'm trying to look for the link, I've got to it, mm-hmm. but she mentions Donald Trump six times. It's like, yep. She's running against Donald Trump?
Well,
no?
the big question I saw out on social media, because these hit mailboxes last week, was what's she going to do for Oregon? Where's her policy? How's she going to do things in Oregon? Because she really doesn't talk at all about it, except the way she's pushed back on the Trump administration. Whether it's good or bad for Oregonians, we can debate that, but that's literally the highlights of her last 4 years.
Again, uniquely disliked from about every faction, every angle, every side. I don't think even the Democrats like this woman.
So there's
a unique opportunity this year.
Yeah, well, and I sit here and I go, I know she doesn't think she's running against Donald Trump, but virtually I think the way that her campaign is looking at this is it's Tina Kotek versus a Trump supporter. And, you know, she's basing that she is more well-liked than Donald Trump on her campaign is virtually the way I look at it. By mentioning Trump six times in her statement, she's pretty much saying, you don't like me, but you like me a little bit more than the president, so you should vote for me.
See, and I don't think that's true.
I don't think so either.
I don't think that's true. So
I know
that's
it's not
be
true in the general election.
It's like that meme with Jason Bay. Well, it's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see it works out for her. So I don't know. I don't know how you can run in a statewide race. And you know, TDS is strong with this one.
Yeah, well, granted, TDS is strong. It is the primary, so only registered Democrats are voting right for her in the primary. So it may change by the time the general election comes around, and she might try a different tactic. We'll have to see how it goes, because while that, if David Medina were to win the primary, that may work for her. But
oh, yeah.
If anybody else wins it, I think it would be a horrendous for her campaign to try and just put it on that level.
Yeah. Well, there's always, you know, strategery behind it all. But the bottom line is, I mean, we're, like you said, we're getting down to the wire. We're coming up on about 3 weeks. It's the 19th. And someone is going to come out of that as the nominee. And so again, and I'm seeing a lot, and I don't like it. It's that same rinse, lather, and repeat where you got a lot of people. I'm not going to vote if my guy or gal doesn't win. And it's like, enough of that crap. Mm-hmm. Knock it off, man. Knock it off. Frankly, if Republicans don't win, it's probably because of Republicans. Unity needs to be the thing here. Whoever it is, hold your nose. Just do it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's kind of the discussion I was having with a young voter of, you know, there was a time when you vote with your heart. It's kind of like you can get away with voting with your heart and how your feelings. We've reached a point in society where if we're not voting strategically each and every time around,
yeah,
we are going to just fall apart and collapse and allow tyranny to take over.
And honestly, that's, I think, while we're here, you look at this, and if you kind of look at it, it's got a gamer mentality. Too many people are into, you know, I don't know whether it's just this sort of game. Everybody grew up with video games, whereas you do realize the stakes are very, very high. This isn't a game. And like you said, voting with your heart. Okay, I get that. But you do need to vote strategically. And I think for far too often, Republicans certainly have, and I think the Democrats do. They can mobilize mm-hmm. their troops, and they all go in lockstep, and this is the candidate everybody vote for him, which is how we got Joe Biden, and frankly, sadly, a lot of Republicans. You know, I don't like Trump's mean, or the tweets are mean. Get over it. Come on, he's not your BFF. You're not having coffee or a beer. Well, you're not having a beer with him. But so, too many people, again, it's emotion. We've let emotions run over things and how we feel about things. Enough with that. Vote with your brain. You got to vote with your brain this time. I'm praying that happens.
We can only hope, because with all these other things going on in the world, whether it's conflicts internationally or whether it's technology and AI taking a firm grasp on what we're looking at, I am just sitting here going, if we don't kind of right this ship, mm-hmm. I don't know if there's going to be anything left at the end of the day.
I a lot of people, I think, are sensing that this is kind of it. You know, every election is the most important election of your lifetime. But I think for Oregon, kind of feeling it. I don't know. You can, by getting a Republican in the governor's seat and taking some seats in the legislature, you can now you can start. It's not going to turn it around overnight. Obviously, it took generations to get here, but it's a start. But I'm hoping, you know, get out of your own way, vote with your brain, vote strategically. And if that, honestly, it's the two, it's probably Dudley or Drazen. And perhaps Dudley, he is a pro-choice candidate. Like it or not, that may be the way to go. I don't know.
Yep. And I know that if it's Drazen, there's going to be plenty of people out there who find a reason not to vote for her. But again, pinch your nose, close your ears, whatever your beef is, you know, stand her on a pedestal if you need to, whatever the scenario. We need the change in Oregon. And like you said, we're not changing it overnight, but we can at least slow down to stop this death spiral that we all feel in are living through here in Oregon.
At least maybe throw it into reverse before we hit the iceberg. Mm-hmm. So honestly, whoever of the four that are the top contenders, any one of them would be heads and shoulders above what we have now. I would have no problem filling in the bubble for any one of the four.
Yep.
Enthusiastically filling in the bubble for any one of the four.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And that's you have to sit here and go, we need something different. We have now had the two least liked governors in the nation back to back.
Yeah.
And yet they keep winning elections. So. Yeah. Maybe it's time to really think strategically and say, you know, why elect the worst light governor in the nation when we can elect something different?
Yeah. And you made your point. You go, okay, you don't do it just to prove a point. I'm really so over that. So, all right, let's go ahead and take a break. We got to talk about the correspondence dinner and kind of what's going on. This guy allegedly, can we just throw out the allegedly is out there because there's been no charges. I think he was arraigned this morning. Mm-hmm. But we're going to take a break and we're going to come back and talk about what happened over the weekend. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Salem Clinic Urgent Care.
All right, so the correspondence dinner that didn't happen, because we had that up. I was going to watch that as well. And, of course, we all know what happened. So I'm not going to go into it. The national guys have covered quite a bit of that. And we know. And, again, I'm throwing out allegedly, my blanket allegedly. The guy, I think he's being charged. He was arraigned. We don't know what's going to happen. So, you know, there's that. I saw this over the weekend. One of my favorite follows on X is an account called Cynical Publius. Follow that guy or gal. I don't know. I posted this on my own social media, and I want to read some comments in it as well, but I'm going to read this because I this is good. Cole Allen, this is the guy, the shooter, the alleged shooter, is the Dunning-Kruger assassin. Allen is not some random nut job from the fringes of society. He's a very articulate graduate of Caltech, which means that he has a high degree of native intelligence. He's in the education profession. He's on Blue Sky. He goes to No King's protest. He's your basic rank and file Democrat. But it's that high native intellect that led him astray. The Dunning-Kruger effect is, at its simplest level, people thinking they know more than they do. People who are high achievers in one area often mistakenly believe their native abilities make them experts in all areas. So you get a super smart guy like Allen. He excels in one narrow area and extrapolates that experience into thinking he knows more than he does in other areas. He goes into Blue Sky. He goes to No King's protests. He is easily swayed into believing all of the insane, violent lies those sorts of intellectual cesspools foster. All of a sudden, this computer science expert is a national political policy expert too, except the latter expertise is derived from insane propaganda. The man with the intellectual skill to write code is not smart enough to recognize when he himself has fallen prey to propaganda. So he knows that Donald Trump is Hitler and must be stopped. And when you know that someone is Hitler, what's the right thing to do? That's why this is such a scary moment. That's why it's so scary at this moment. The sheer number of ostensibly educated Democrats who know so many things are, quote, true, unquote, are actually so very, very untrue. In many ways, Cole Allen is just an average Democrat. And like most average Democrats, he fell prey to credentialism and Dunning-Kruger. But Cole took it to the next level. Let's pray more do not.
Mm-hmm. You got to let that sit for a minute because it is. This is what, 31 years old?
Yeah.
An educator teaching children, highly educated, able to write code. And I'm just sitting here.
Smart guy, certified smart guy.
Yep. And yet he believed, in reading his own manifesto that he sent to family members, where one minute it sounds very logical, very thought out, and the next minute it's the crazy talking points you read. And that, yeah, I'm a martyr, I'm doing this because no one else is willing to, and I can't live with the blood on my hands because of what Trump is doing. And I'm just sitting here going, that mentality, he's not alone. We see it daily on social media.
We do. And I like this comment on the thread. It was, yeah, the scariest part of the manifesto was how mundane and mainstream left it sounded. Mm-hmm. He's your average Democrat, unfortunately. He took it to the limit. And this guy is going to spend the rest of his life in federal prison. And I think one day he may sober up and realize, what the hell did I do? Mm-hmm. He threw away his entire life for lies.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Well, and that's the problem. I'm sitting here going, when elected officials, when the news media, when any talking head on the internet is able to give someone like this the justification they need to potentially commit the most vile of crimes, you have to sit here and go, what is wrong with society today? Have we lost true vision across the board? Mm-hmm. You know, and to some extent, I sit there and say, yes, when you're reading articles about, you know, how you need to dress your animals properly so you don't misgender them, I'm sitting there going, what is wrong in today's world?
Well, and we've seen this throughout history, because I'm sure John Wilkes Booth thought he was going to be a hero for the ages in assassinating President Lincoln. And probably back in the day, he was a hero to Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is being, you're having a lot of, there's a lot of teachers coming out. There's a lot of tweets. Libs of TikTok is out there, and many other accounts of people. There's a bar or a brewery owner somewhere. The guy's running for office, you know, free beers when it happens. And it's the same thing happened with Charlie Kirk. The masks come off and the dark black souls are shown for the whole world to see from these people. And I have family members and friends, and I'm throwing up air quotes that way, who ascribe to that, who think this is great, and darn, he missed. This is the third attempt.
Yeah.
The third attempt on the president's life.
Yeah, and I sit here and go, and these people that are celebrating or disappointed that he wasn't successful, they believe because of, and we talk so much about, social media isn't real life. It is designed to build up what you want to hear and what you want to see. And these people that are on there posting things like that, it's like they're doing that because they believe that the people that see this are the people that are going to feel the same way and be like, oh, you're so wonderful for, you know, wanting this to happen. It's like, it's a sickness. And I don't know how we can fix it.
Well, you certainly can't have reasoned dialogue with people who think that Republicans and conservatives just need to be unalive.
Which sadly is
I'm not interested in unity with you, hon.
Which
not
is
at all.
Sadly your average leftist at this point. Right. I mean, he literally in his own manifesto, he addressed family members that he thought would try and talk him out of this. They addressed family members that he thought might be, you know, middle of the road to right leaning people. In the way he did it, it's pretty much like, I'm doing this to save you.
Yeah. Well, and you think about it, he was a teacher. He was teacher of the month. Mm-hmm. He was celebrated. He was, you know, how many, you know, we've got public schools all over the country. Just look at the public schools in Oregon. You've got teachers teaching your kids that have this mindset, that believe the same way. I mean, this is literally the people with the hate has no home here signs in their yards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, yay, it's okay to kill people. And you keep hearing that, and they don't necessarily, they're not going to do it. But when somebody else does it, it's like, mm-hmm, yeah, I'm okay with that. That's good.
Well, as you said, here's someone that attends No Kings protests.
Yeah.
We recently, in the last couple of months, have our school district allow and help prepare walkouts in No Kings protest mentality. And I go, so if there's teachers, educators, what's stopping them from taking the next step? They're already rallying your children against, you know, this No Kings idea, following in the propaganda this guy did. And what's to stop them from being the next one?
Yeah, it's really time to if you've still got blinders on thinking that we're sort of back in 2008, where, you know, you could have a chat with your, and again, and I don't even know now, because I always used to say I would put a distinctive marker between leftist and liberal. I'm not sure I can do that anymore. I just don't know that I can anymore.
They're blurring the lines. It used to be, you know, when you talk about assassinations and assassination attempts and terror attacks and this and that, it always used to be people that you could look at and say they're so fringe. They're way right on the outside. They're living in a you know, building on the side of a mountain. And now you sit here and you go, this guy is plain normal Joe Schmo. You could ride the subway with him. And he took the time to sit there and say, I'm going to travel across the country by train.
Yeah.
Bring guns into my hotel, you know, take the chance that security might catch you, even write about the lax level of security, and then try and make this attempt.
And you think about the hours and hours and hours to do that, where he could have reconsidered and decided, and I, you know, again, allegedly thrown that out there just because I can, to reconsider your decisions in your life. But they're so stove in on it all, and it really is a mental illness, and we've got a serious problem, and we got to stop pretending that we don't.
Mm-hmm.
We really do. And again, I'm not interested in unity with someone who thinks that it's a good idea to take shots at people. And again, we've talked about, you know, the hotel and security, like you said, mm-hmm. there's problems. And yeah, you know what? Build the ballroom.
This is probably, jeez. Well, I look at it this way. This is probably one of those guys. He didn't need the dark web to push him to this. He needed the 5 o'clock news.
Colleagues.
Yeah. MSNBC, coworkers.
The staff room.
Yeah. And that's extremely frightening. You don't have to go searching for the bad guys to coax you when you have this kind of outlook on life.
Yep, we got a serious problem. It's time to wake up about that. All right, we got more to talk about. I want to talk about cars spying on you. Come on back after the news.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty. America is a car culture. We love our cars. My dad was a car guy. He restored. We had a 1936 Chevy that never got past the Bondo stage, unfortunately, but I love cars. My first car was a 74 Chevy Nova, all jacked up with, you know, Led Zeppelin bumper stickers on it, because I was that goofy girl. But we love our cars. And, you know, everybody likes, ooh, gee whiz, technology and all that kind of school. I know we've had conversations about the anti-idling. So when you pull up to a stoplight, it shuts your engine off, and everybody hates that. Well, this is taking it to 11. And it's not just Ford Motor Company, but I saw this tweet. Ford Motor Company patents facial cameras and sensors in the cab, prohibiting the truck from going into drive if you look incapable of driving it. Like, you're stressed out, like, oh, I don't know, you got a fire, you got something. I saw a video of a guy trying to put it into drive, and he's all wild-eyed because he's stressed out because somebody had a chainsaw accident, couldn't put it in drive, couldn't get there because the car knew better. You seem stressed, Dave. It just means, you know, open the pod bay doors. Damn, I can't do that. That's what this is to me. This is 2001 A Space Odyssey, where the robots run amok. So basically your car can be turned off and is undrivable without your consent.
Yeah, and it's turning your car into virtually judge, jury, and executioner. It makes the decision for you. AI makes the decision for you. And that's just the tip of the iceberg in these things. So Ford, it is a new space race to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And it's between different car companies on who can come up and apply this technology the fastest.
Because nobody wants it, by the way. Consumers don't want this.
No, I absolutely, every car I've ever been in that has that automatic turn off when you come to a stop, I disable it.
Mm-hmm.
I literally let the battery drain in one of my cars, and they're like, do you need to replace this battery? I said, no, you're not replacing that battery. I don't want it. It is the worst thing. It is bad for the car. It is bad for everything. And I go, out of all the times when your car is, you know, sending out emissions, how about our cities get together and find better ways to make traffic flow so you're not sitting idling so much?
No, 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 no. their answer is a 15-minute city. So you don't have to go. You can walk to the local bodega. Oh, wait a minute. No, the government-run grocery store that has five items that are priced out of reach because, you know, there's no competition. Basically, resist CBDC. In 2027, your car can be turned off without your consent. By 2030, what else can be turned off? Your money, your electricity, your ability to travel, social media, internet, education, healthcare, tokenized diploma, medical records, appliances, phone. It doesn't stop with the car.
Well, but it's already here. What did we see with the trucker rallies up in Canada? They froze their bank accounts.
Yep.
They regularly freeze social media in foreign countries and allow things that you know they don't deem necessary to not get through. These things are already in place. And I sit there and go, as Americans, the one bastion of freedom is being able to get in your car and drive up to the mountains or drive over to the lake. What happens if they determine that road conditions might not be good enough to go over up the mountain? Oh, well, we're just going to shut your car off because guess what? We don't think you're capable of driving if it's snowing up there. That's all coming.
There's a quote, everybody's favorite ghoul, Bill Gates, quote, for most things, we'll decide. There'll be some things, but in terms of making things, moving things, growing food over time, those will be solved problems. We're the elites. We're the betters. We know better. We'll solve those problems for you. You don't have to make those decisions. And how many people are going to go clamor and go, okay, just look at COVID. Wow. How many people rolled over? It's for my safety. It's for the greater good. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and we're already on the cusp of it with all of these electric cars on the road today.
Yep.
It doesn't take a whole lot to create a scenario where they're all shut off. It doesn't take a whole lot. You know, I'm sitting here going, you know, an EMP goes off and yeah, my starter might be shot, but guess what? I might be able to crank over my older engine and get it started anyway.
Right.
Especially in an emergency scenario.
So now that brings up a good point because we talked about that. You remember that little program back in what, 2009, was it? Was it 2009? Cash for Clunkers. Remember that?
Oh,
remember
that? Yeah, that was a winner. Yeah, that really, really helped the poor and middle class.
Yeah. So that was maybe their way of getting rid of, let me see. I've got a post about it here. I talked about that. It was in 2009, 690,000 vehicles were destroyed. Perfectly good, perfectly reliable used cars. So this created an artificial scarcity. It rippled through the used car markets for over a decade. The Obama administration sold this $3 billion program as environmental salvation and economic stimulus. This seemed like a precursor to what we're looking at now. Well, I'm not going to buy a brand new car, so I'm going to go buy a used car. Whoops, not a lot available, and the ones that are you know what the market in used cars? That's going to be outrageously expensive to try to get an old Corolla.
Let's go back just a couple of years ago when they had the challenges with the circuit boards. We couldn't, you know, it literally created such a high demand that you were paying as much for a used car as you virtually were for a brand new car. Because nothing was available except used cars, and the prices skyrocketed. And I'm just sitting here going, something like these things that the auto industry, backed by our politicians, is looking down the barrel of, is ending the new car industry. Because people are going to finally sit there and go, wait a second. The fact that I can't use my car if I need to, the fact that, you know, I'm being watched. Some of these patents that Ford has put forward are literally saying, this is so police can understand. It is going to read your body language, your lip reading.
Your lips.
It is going to listen in on your conversations and send all this information to your insurance company, maybe the police, maybe whomever needs to hear what you have to say in the privacy of your own vehicle.
Now, your tinfoil hat is on a little too tight. This is just for convenience. It's so that they can tailor advertising to you so that they can know that, you know, if you bought a toilet seat, I guess, you know, you want ads for 100 of them because you want to collect them. I don't know.
Well, I just had a dryer go out. I took my truck over to the local Lowe's and I bought myself a new dryer. You think that when I got home, my phone's going to be getting the message from my truck that, you know, this guy looks at dryers. He's a dryer buyer. You better inundate him.
He must collect them. We must send him ads. And so it's going to be sold to you just like COVID vaccines were sold. Mm-hmm. It's for your safety. It's for the greater good. You don't want to drive if you're all amped up or whatever. And then we have people talking about, well, isn't that the same thing as the breathalyzer things that are put in cars after drunk driving? The big difference there is someone was convicted of a crime. There was due process in there. That little part is missing. This now assumes that everyone is potentially a criminal driver and a bad driver. Well, it flips it all on its head. Well, but it's for safety and convenience.
But how long until there is a breathalyzer thing in every car?
Yep.
How long until you know, this AI thing, it's looking at your eyes to see, you know, whether your eyelids are a little droopy. What happens if maybe you have an eye infection and you're on your way to the doctor? Oh, well, your car says, sorry, you can't drive. What if you have sunglasses on?
Yeah.
I'm now understanding why I still see people driving around by themselves in their car with their masks on, because they think their car might be listening and reading their lips.
Well, actually, if maybe they're ahead of the game there. They saw this coming and they got their little cloth mask on there to do that. The other thing, too, and I'm seeing this is in Great Britain, and regardless of what you feel about cigarettes or not, but now anyone born 2008 and beyond is banned from buying tobacco products. Now, you know, OK, tobacco products are not healthy and not good for you. But as an adult, I'll make my own decision on what I want to put in my body. The government has no business there. Does that make me like a libertarian? I don't know, but come on.
I'm like laughing here because I'm thinking about this, you know, in let's say the year 2048, when the 40-year-old is hanging outside the grocery store saying, hey, you look old enough to buy my cigarettes.
Because the market always finds a way.
Mm-hmm.
The market will find a way with used cars. The market will find a way with cigarettes. The market always finds a way. Always. People are pretty resourceful when Big Brother comes clamping down and tries to put a boot on your neck. And that's what this is. And this is really Orwellian, really dystopian, this car stuff. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Yowza. I have no interest in buying a newer car or buy one now.
Well,
and then take really good care of your automobiles.
Yeah. I'm just sitting here. I mean, the amount of scenarios, just right here in Oregon, let's say you take your family out to the coast and the earthquake finally happens. And there's a tsunami warning, and you are rushing your family into the car. You are getting the heck out of that lowland area. You want to get up the hill, and the car won't go. Mm-hmm. I am going, this is disaster waiting to happen across the board, every which way. I mean, heck, you could put this in an ambulance, and oh my gosh, in an emergency scenario, if the ambulance isn't going, oh my God, this is, I don't even know what to say about this, because... And it seems to have some government support behind it.
Well, that's the thing in Congress. Yeah, Republicans voted for this. Mm-hmm. So they can't pass the SAVE Act, but they're going to vote for this. Why am I a Republican again?
Why?
Can you remind me? What are they doing for us? What?
Hmm? Well, it's the flipping of society where now the federal government needs to be that all-powerful, controlling everything across the board instead of the way it was all set up, where they have the slight purview of foreign affairs and a few other things.
Patents.
And now, you know, and your local government should have been in more control. Well, maybe we need local government to start really pushing back. And not in the way Tina put in her pamphlet there, but in the way of, hey, we don't want anything like this here in Oregon.
Yeah. Yeah. It's time to look at your watch and see what time it is. Cause all this stuff is coming fast and furious. Again, this car stuff, this car spying and everything. 2027. What year is it now? Oh, it's 2026. And then by 2030, it's going to be here before you know it, as time seems to be speeding up for everybody as well.
Well, that's what happens when, you know, you turn 40 and you're asking that 70-year-old guy to buy your smokes for you. So,
my gosh, that's just so bad. All right. Let's take our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli.
All right, I got my Cozy's fixed last week.
Well, what if you had that kill switch? You were getting really excited to go get your Cozy's, and all of a sudden you couldn't put it in drive.
Okay, that's a bridge too far. Right. I can't get my Cozy.
That's right. That might get you on a bike. Come on.
Nah. But it'd get me walking. Okay. More fallout again. The what happened over the weekend at the the correspondence dinner that didn't happen, which again is going to be postponed. He is going to do it. And I remember we were watching, we were driving and listening to this as well. And I was kind of following X to see what was going on. And Trump really wanted to go back and do it. And I'm glad he listened to his security experts, because you don't know, you don't know if there was another guy in waiting. We didn't really know what was going on. But media and the media's response to this, again, we talked about the mask coming up. The worst of the worst, I cannot stand this guy. I've never been a fan, even when he was with Adam Carolla on The Man Show. Carolla was the better. Flippin' Jimmy Kimmel cannot help himself. Mm-hmm. Good grief. And I'm really glad to see FLOTUS, Melania Trump, coming out. And I won't read the whole thing. You can go find it out on X. Kimmel's hateful and violent rhetoric is intended to divide our country. His monologue about my family isn't comedy. His words are corrosive and deepen the political sickness within America. The guy is not funny. It's rage clapping that all you get. He's unfunny. He's just a creep. And frankly, there's a lot of calls for him to be fired. And yeah, free speech, sure. But there are consequences to free speech. And this dude is out there doing so much damage.
Well, we all go back a few months ago when he was supposedly fired, which the more I look into it, I think it was a big publicity stunt. I think he was pretty much, they pulled him off the air knowing it was going to create massive controversy. And when they put him back on, he's going to come back to a stronger audience. That, I think, was a full on publicity stunt to get people riled up. Thus, ABC kind of put a protective barrier around him through all of this. I think that if ABC's not going to do it, the FCC needs to step in and fine the living hell out of that station and bankrupt them.
Is Disney owned. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, but this was 2 days, and 2 days before the actual event, he has his fake correspondence dinner and is showing a video of Melania and Barron Trump sitting there. And he, you know, says she looks like she has, quote, the glow of an expectant widow. This is sick stuff. And you know what? We don't have to tolerate this. I don't want to tolerate this anymore. Mm-hmm. It's not funny. The audience guffawed at it. So those people, really? Okay, then you're just as bad as Kimmel. If you think this is funny, there's something wrong with you. Check your soul.
I sit there and I wonder, how does someone like that understand that there may be an attempt on the president's life at this particular dinner 2 days in advance?
Well, you know, they have been spewing this, him and his ilk, the hags on The View and all these others have been spewing this rhetoric for years. And like we talked about with the manifesto and the alleged shooter from there, the teacher, that there's probably a million of him cloned in schools and classrooms around the country. They have been stoking and spewing this rhetoric for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you think's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen? And they know it.
Oh, they encourage it. It's a segment like that. And that might have been, for all we know with this teacher, that might have been the final, this is a go, watching Kimmel two nights before going, yeah. Hey, he wants it just as bad as I do.
Yeah, I don't know. We will never know which one was the tipping point that pushed this guy over the end. But, you know, if you're sitting there, he's literally Hitler. Well, what do? Mm-hmm. You've got these people worked up into such a lather that this guy literally would go 3,000 miles and not one second have a second thought about maybe this isn't a good idea. Maybe I shouldn't throw my entire career, my entire life away. No. So there's a massive calls for this guy to face some consequences finally. And I think they need to be serious consequences. I'm so over these people. And again, anyone who thinks this is funny, shame on you.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's no unifying with this. None, none.
No. I mean, you talk about burning bridges. Every bridge from that side is just, they are lighting them up and then telling us, you know, we want to be peaceful. We want to be loving, as they're willing to light it, burn it down, break windows, deface buildings, attack officers, attack the president. I mean, I'm just going, at what point do these people look in the mirror and say, maybe we're accountable? Because so far, I've never seen it. They just make the excuses, come out with the talking points, and then move on back to the violence.
Yeah. And when you put this into people that have been indoctrinated in public school systems over a generation, at least, that are very, I mean, you know, you hear the smooth brained, not a lot of critical thinking going on. And you beat this drum over and over and over and over again. You demonize the man himself. You demonize everybody in the administration. You demonize the people that voted for him. Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to happen? It's time to stop pretending that there isn't really a very real threat.
Well, I mean, what have we seen? We've seen them attack churches. We've seen them attack buildings. Yep. We've seen them attack downtown areas. They attack people that they decide I mean, look, you know, look what we saw coming out of Minneapolis, where they're literally just chasing random people in SUVs.
Yeah.
I go,
because they look like Trump supporters. What does a Trump supporter look like?
At what point do our local leaders and our local people step up and say, these behaviors will not be tolerated on our streets? Period. End of story. End of discussion.
And honestly, this is on Democrats. It seems like this is becoming more mainstream. So I don't know if there are any sane, rational ones left, but the sane, rational ones have to buck their party. I realize they're so entrenched in this. And if you haven't said anything until now, it's going to be really hard to speak up now, because then you become a target. But the only way this stops, number one, it has to be stopped. These people must be stopped. This guy, this alleged shooter, needs to have the full force brought down on him. The magnitude needs to be epic. It needs to be huge, because you do that a couple of times, I guarantee you this stops. These people are cowards. They're empowered by a mob. And so you have consequences. But the longer we let this go and we don't do anything, and again, I'm looking back to Minneapolis, where nothing really was done. You had two people, quote, sacrifice their lives. For what? Lies. Mm-hmm. It's pathetic.
Well, and unfortunately, this is it's been a generational thing. When you really look at it, the assassination attempts on presidents heavily go after Republicans. There was the D.C. shooter that Scalise years ago baseball game.
Yep.
This rhetoric has been there. You can literally talk to somebody who's been a lifelong Democrat, and you can lay out every bit of how the Democrat Party has left them in the dust. These are no longer JFK's Republic or Democrats. Right. And they will still sit there and they'll, but it's still better than a Republican. I go, how have you been so indoctrinated? You're 60, 70, 80 years old to believe that a letter after a name defines a person.
Yeah. Yeah. And these people vote and they get mobilized. And so going back to Tina Kotek's voter pamphlet state mentioning Trump six times, that is going to work on a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. It will work. It's funny. I'm seeing video out there as the room was clearing out, because again, the D's, the leftists, liberals, again, I'm having a hard time putting that dividing line that I always do. I'm having a hard time with that now. But there was that big story about, you know, Kash Patel is a raging drunk. Everything is always about projection, because there's videos now coming out. Talk about bad behavior. You've got all these people stealing wine off the tables. Now, number one, if it was like, go ahead and take the wine, then I'll stand corrected. Because that happens a lot. It's like the party's over, but they're sitting there chugging down the bottle. I mean, there's video all over the place. And I'm like, oh, a free bottle of wine. Okay.
Yeah.
But it's like, I kind of want to know, did you get the okay to take the wine, or are you just stealing the wine?
Well, I mean, I guess I can give them some grace. You were just in a situation where there was potentially an active shooter coming into the ballroom. So we'll give them grace on this one, whether they're Republicans, Democrats, Nats, I don't care who they are.
You're a good guy, Hunter.
You go through that kind of thing, and I am not going to fault you for getting a little liquored up at the end of it.
I think you're right. I'll back off on my criticism there. There was talk too about there were a lot of other parties and things going on, and I'm like, oh, those parties are going on.
Well,
I think Washington D.C. is going to be pretty lit. Pretty lit that night.
So with our last 30 plus seconds here, I'm sitting here going, that was the one other thing I saw, is there was a lot of posts about a lack of real security in there. You have the president, the vice president, and the speaker in the same room. If it had been a guy with a bomb strapped to his chest.
Yep. Yep.
We could be waking up to a fully different world today.
Yep, absolutely.
And I'm going, that's on Secret Service. They need to tighten the reins. The guy bragged about being able to check in a day earlier and bring all of his weapons in, and no security stopped him.
And they just looked at his ticket and he just got, build the ballroom.
Yeah.
Build the ballroom.
Well, and improve security. We need to make sure our Secret Service is doing their job, because whether you like them or not, assassination of a president is a bad thing.
It's a bad thing. All right, everybody, thanks for hanging out with us today. We'll see you tomorrow for Real Estate Insights. Have a great day.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.